The following recording was made at a seance held on December 15, 1962 by the independent direct voice reader Leslie Flint, communicators Mickey and Rudolph Valentino. What's this an item?
Nothing in particular. I just thought I'd have a change for Glenn and
Great, just Tina, you know, it's all on top of him, and he... They're all messed around. Is that all you're going to say tonight?
I don't know yet.
Oh.
What's happening?
Are you in touch with anybody besides yourself, sir?
What do you mean I'm not in touch?
I didn't say you were touched by any man on
the... You said, are you in touch with anyone else but besides yourself?
Yes.
That's far.
I'd like to hear your voice. But you don't use it very much when I'm around.
Well, you don't listen to me, and you've got all these other interesting things.
What do you mean I don't listen to you? Of course I listen.
Well, I know you do, but after all, you'd rather talk to Chopin, Frederick, and a few of
them. There is no rather with me, dear.
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, I rather in this way, of course, I love him better than...
Come on, out of it.
So what can I do? I'm supposed to be with him in all sorts of reincarnations. I can't get rid of him.
Oh, that's a nice compliment. What would you say if he turned out that he couldn't get rid of you?
I would never give him the chance to say that. And I'd fly it.
See what I'm from, mate?
And who's around tonight, Mickey?
It surprised you very much if I would say that I was wrong.
Like that, somebody said. No, it wouldn't surprise me at all, but all of the seances are surprising. That's the beauty of it.
I'd like very much to have the pleasure and privilege, if I may, of holding you both, or perhaps Rosa, which is so much nicer.
It is, but who's speaking? I seem to recognize that voice.
Well, I would like to think that you recognize my voice. I have spoken to you before, and no doubt you have been listening to some of the recordings that have been made downstairs.
Yes, I know who that is.
Valentino.
Yes, Valentino.
I would like, if I may, have the pleasure of calling you Rosa. I may also come and speak to you occasionally.
Certainly.
Because I do feel that I perhaps have not the same how you speak.
I know what you're going to say. You needn't bother about saying anything.
But that, in a way, makes it more attractive.
Of course it does.
Because I like to feel that I can speak to someone who does not know all good speakers. It's a pleasure to be able to speak to someone who is not so perhaps...
Poor man. You must be quite tired.
Oh, it has been a great, a mixture of pleasure and at the same time embarrassment to me.
Yes.
But at the same time, I appreciate all the kindness and all the thoughts that have been sent to me out of all his love.
Can you tell me, Rudy, and I call you Rudy?
I wish you would.
Can you tell me why it is that you have such a strong hold on so many thousands of people? There must be a very deep meaning for this.
Well, shall we first of all discuss the obvious answer to that?
Yes.
And go on to what I like to feel is the real answer. And if the answer, shall I say, that I like to feel within myself is the real answer to it.
That's what I want.
Tremendous problem.
Yes.
In a kind of way, it is a problem. That, you know, I like to feel that those people who remember me not just merely as a film actor, but somebody who contributed something to our lives that perhaps was very drab and very lonely and unhappy. For a few moments I was able to give them some little colour, or perhaps a little romance. That in itself, I suppose, is a wonderful thing, that one has the opportunity, or has had the opportunity, and the privilege of doing that. But more important still, I like to feel that in some way I was able to reach them and perhaps, who knows, help them in various ways, not just only momentarily or materially, but perhaps because of their interest in me, they have some instances that we know have sought for deeper meanings and deeper purposes behind life. And I know that this is so. My own life, when on earth, was perhaps from the earthly point of view rather short. But in that short time, perhaps I myself was able to discover certain things which give to me great internal happiness and realization, and in turn, perhaps those who have known of these things, of my interest in spiritual things, for instance, and psychic things, in turn have also sought for truth and have, through my instigation, indirectly discovered it. And I feel too that if I can attract and draw people to me, that I may be able to use my influence upon them for good, to help them to think and act differently to the ordinary material individual. You know, I still feel that I may perhaps by my work be of some service.
Of course you will. You have started already.
You see, I feel this, that my work on the earth, my screen work, my acting in itself was a means first to an end. I did not realize, obviously, at this time, to me it was a way of earning a living, and when I began to become more interested in my work, I became more sensible about it, I was more sensitive to it, I was more anxious to be a good artist. But I realized that, in a kind of way, it was an opportunity that was given to me to be able to project myself, my real inner true self, and some people were able to respond to that. I think those people who remember me with kindness and consideration, those people, for instance, who today still have great regard and affection for me, I feel that in some measure I have contributed something to their lives, not just momentarily, but perhaps more deeply and for a much longer period. And in some cases, I think many have sought for a greater depth of meaning. To many people were puzzled at first why it is that they should be so attracted to me. At first, I suppose, with many, it was just the surface things, the sort of romantic appeal. But once they got beyond that, they began to think more deeply, and they began to realize it was something to do with the soul, something to do with the spirit, something more tangible, something very real. Something not just on the surface is probably a first thought. And yes, I have been able to infiltrate my thoughts to many people. And it was my desire, very soon after I came here, to find a medium. Of course, I had been through various mediums and communicated. There was one person that I communicated very regularly with in America. And also I spoke to my wife on various occasions. That circumstances came about that it was not possible to continue. Besides, I was not happy. I was not particularly satisfied with mental mediumship or trance mediumship,
no,
as this person was. I wanted something more tangible, more real, more dynamic. And I wanted to find an instrument through whom I could work and serve and help humanity. And well, I have been fortunate. And of course, since I have been here I have had my eyes opened wider, vision, and have been given deeper realization of truth. I realized that it was not just chance. For instance, that I was brought into contact with this present medium, I realized after a time that there were links that had been forged centuries ago, and we were not unfamiliar one to the other. Indeed, I discovered that we had been on Earth brothers.
Brothers, yes.
And therefore, that made the link stronger.
Twin brothers, right?
Made it possible, very practically twin brothers, yes. We were twin brothers. But, you know, I look back on the years of service. I have never, and it is one thing I have always done for myself, when I took over, if I can use such an expression, I would never force myself through the mediumship. In other words, I would allow mediumship to be used in the best possible way to help every soul.
Yes.
But I would never myself come through and speak, only on occasions when I felt that it was perhaps a good thing or perhaps a person concerned would be interested in my coming. Because you see, the image of myself, which to a great extent still persists in your world, was not an image that I myself sought without hope or desired, or indeed it was created, you might say, almost against my will by publicity agents, and of course you might also say that the people who saw my pictures saw in me that which in a sense perhaps didn't really exist, only in their own imagination. But I realize the kind of films in which I played, a romantic type of picture, they were need, and I'm grateful for that. I did not want, when I communicated, to be myself too much in the foreground. I was much happier being in the background, knowing that the work was being done, and that in a way I was instrumental in it being done. But I did not want ever to cross my own self, my own personality, upon people. If people sought for me to come forward, then I knew that they were sincere in their approach to the subject, and that their approach towards me as an individual was not a foolish or silly one, that I was quite happy to come and to speak. Of course, there are exceptions. There are certain instances of which I don't think I wish to enter now, but there are individuals who have very strange ideas about me.
Oh, yes. I know.
And I want them to learn.
Yes.
To appreciate the deeper implications.
Yes, you're quite right.
I come in. But I will never deliberately, of course, say anything or do anything that would in any way hurt anybody, because I respect everybody's personal opinion, I respect everybody's personal approach, if you like, towards this subject and towards me as an individual. But I am pleased, particularly when sensible, intelligent people in interest and anxiety to know more of this truth can approach me as an intelligent human being and not in the attitude of mind as if I were I resent in a way, I suppose, that, although I never would like anyone to feel upset or hurt. You see, I realize that love has many interpretations. There are many kinds of love, and there may be some kinds of love that, in a sense, perhaps, are pure physical or material in themselves that have no bearing on spiritual qualities or spiritual aspiration. But I would not say anything that would hurt anybody. But I would like to feel, and I am most grateful for all the love that has been said from the world of your world towards me, from every individual, no matter what their attitude of mind has been. But at the same time, it is in a sense true to say that the tremendous power of love that has constantly been said unto me from innumerable people, vast majority of course whom I have never met personally, in a sense from this side occasionally, has helped me tremendously. You know, I don't think people realize how important are and how vital thoughts can be. And when those thoughts are carried on the wings of love, even if perhaps the wings and the things themselves are rather weak, they have a very strong effect, and they do reach the goal. Because I have been so briefly hit in the early time of my coming here by the immeasurable love of countless people, which has been so overwhelming that I felt how much I wanted to help in any way I could, any soul who was in need of any kind, but particularly those whose sorrow was great. And to feel that I have been partly responsible for helping innumerable people to find comfort, and when they have had some, at least found that comfort which their heart cried out for, they have begun to think a little more deeply, a little more sincerely within themselves, and the desire that they should in consequence do something about themselves. I like to feel that I've made some contribution in a practical way.
I'm sure you have.
People.
Yes. I'm sure you have.
As the instrument, as far as SDE is concerned,
yes.
I am very grateful for the great privilege which has been given to me to work with him. I suppose there is no such thing as an ideal instrument, and I would be the last person to decry or to say anything to suggest that, that I am not fully satisfied. But naturally, there is no such thing as a perfect instrument. After all instruments are human. They are still in the world, and they are subject to all the conditions of the world.
But he's recognized as one of, if not the finest.
Don't misunderstand.
No, I know.
I am more than grateful for the wonderful work that has been done, and the opportunities that have been given, and the wonderful mediumship that has developed over the years. But I suppose, like so many here, we ask perhaps not too much, but we hope for too much. You know, there are times when one feels the possibilities of communication are so tremendous. We feel in a way that we have only just scratched the very surface. There is so much on me, there's so much more to be brought out, and I like to feel that there are still opportunities left in which we can still unfold this mediumship to a higher degree, and I am fully in accord with the other souls, of course, who are my friends, who come from time to time to speak to you and to others, and I'm hoping that in some way we shall be able to do other things.
I think that is their goal. And I'm sure this medium desires that too.
Well, you see, for a long time we have fulfilled the tasks to the best of our ability that have been set us. And the medium has cooperated in as much as he has been used to do this work. And in many instances of success for me, but we are longing, as you have been told, to reach a higher plane of thought so that we can transmit, which we hope eventually can be published in a book so that people can read this all the world. Because there are many who never have the opportunity to speak so that we can talk to them at least. But if we can bring through our messages and our teachings and bring a new conception of this whole truth to the world, we feel that we shall have achieved the ultimate, at least all that we can hope to achieve through this instrument. That is why we feel the coming years that are left can best be applied to this work, to this effort, to reach the highest mental and spiritual plane that it is possible to reach, and transmit in this fashion, in this way, the messages of souls, and there are many of them from different spheres great intelligence, a great spiritual integrity, whose one motive and one desire is to bring to the world this truth in such a way that it will be not only a revelation, but it will be such an inspired work in itself, but it will become almost, if I just say this, a spiritual, I do not like to use the word Bible, but a spiritual handbook, if you like, of eternal progression for man. That we can take from him all the fear in which he today dwells. In spite of all the terrible turmoil of your world, man can still find an internal, spiritual peace. And it's the eternal spiritual consciousness of the eternal plan, so that each and every soul can feel, whatever the material life may bring, whatever conditions they may individually have to live by, they can have that strength, that fortitude, that courage, which only the truth can give them. Once you can unleash in your world this dynamic force, this dynamic vital truth, which is the very essence and basis of life, once you can unfetter man from the many chains of ignorance that bind him, once you can open his heart and his eyes to his truths in such a way that he knows without any qualms, any doubts, that it is so. Whatever the world may offer in the way of unhappiness, whatever the tests that may be set, he will have an inner strength, an inner realization that all is yet well, though the physical life may be troubled, though the heart may be heavy because of the material conditions under which he may live, yet within himself, this inner peace, this inner realization that in all things there is fundamental truth, fundamental good, even when he sees all around darkness, there is the inner light that glows, that gives him the courage and illumination to persevere, to on, and to overcome whatever he may suffer, whatever he may befall him. Yet he will know by this truth, by that which we hold to him, he will have that assurance beyond all shadow of doubt that life is continuous, that life is the living reality, that it is the life of the mind and the spirit that conquers all the outer things, which in themselves are but the shadows. We want to discard from man all the shadows and all the dark places, giving the courage that only the truth can give, and make it possible for him in consequence to find that peace which will transfer, as it were, while yet in the world of the flesh, transfer him into the realms of the spirit, in mind and in nature, to make man truly a spiritual being while yet in material body. And we can do that gradually and infiltrate this into all peoples, gradually in all the world. There will come changes, and in time the man will change, and the outlook of man will change, and peace, true peace, will come. We have great, great, great ideas. We know how great they are, and at the same time how difficult they are to interpret and to make people accept and understand them. But where there is faith and where there is courage, where there is love, where there is this cooperation which I find here, it is possible.
Well, I hope so. It's a great pity that all the scientists on your side, for instance, without the agency of a human being, cannot discover something that will enable all of you to get into contact with the people on the earth.
Well, that is something, of course, which I have been hoping for a very, very long time. It seems that eventually that must come with that, but I do not think it can be yet.
I don't suppose yet, because see, if one does it through a human agency, there's always suspicion in the minds of the human beings. You understand what I mean?
I understand perfectly, but I do say this. Whatever may happen, whatever may be discovered, whatever may be brought about by scientists, I do not think that it can ever be quite the same as it is with the human element, with the human contact. I know you can say that scientists can absolutely make new machines that will make it possible for communication to become a fact. I would like to think that will be so, but I think it will be through the spiritual power of man and not just the material side. Because the scientist works on the material aspect, he works on a material basis. In all his inventions and all his experiments, it will only be done, and believe me, there is a difference between the spiritual scientists on this side and not the material ones.
That's what I mean.
There are many material scientists on this side who have no consideration at all for spiritual welfare.
Yes.
There are scientists who are clinging down to the earth, who are concerned, and indeed many are helping scientists on your side, for these forces for destruction rather than for good. You see, madame, you must remember and realize that there are good and bad.
Yes, I know, yes.
And the scientists, by their very nature, quite often are so materialistic in their approach to everything. And then in consequence, they do not immediately change or make up here. And they are so intrigued and fascinated with the possibilities around and about them in their astral life and astral condition that they willingly and joyfully cling to scientists on Earth and help them and give them impressions and ideas to work on.
The
and they are not always good.
No. HPV is quite right then.
HPV is a very, very remarkable woman.
Yes.
She may sometimes even wrong the impression of herself because she has always been impatient with fools.
Yes.
You know, she has always been a woman who had little tact and little patience.
Well, I like her very much.
She is a very great soul.
Yes.
And when she is speaking, when she is communicating, whether it is with souls on this side, on those spheres, or perhaps even coming here to speak to you, she is a great person,
yes.
A great woman.
Yes.
That she sometimes, because she cannot help it, as she draws into earth in particular, she cannot help but sometimes take on some part of our old self. Because she is so much more conscious than most people of all the old selves. And also sometimes the old selves, they so affect her. That sometimes she is a changed woman. You know, it's extraordinary. According to conditions,
yes.
She can be quite a different personality at different times, according to the conditions under which she's functioning. And on certain spheres, I have no doubt that she could give a very different impression to what she would give of herself on another sphere. But this is something that she has learned, indeed, which many of us have learned, that we can draw upon memories of old souls, old selves. And they can assert themselves, or at least a part of the old self can assert its personality upon the present, even more developed self.
Yes.
It is very difficult to explain to people about astral shows. She has great knowledge of it. Indeed, she was one of my great helpers.
I know. I've read.
She gave me instruction and guidance, and she used to get very impatient with me.
Impatient with me, was she?
She looked upon me as a child, which, of course, in a way, I was.
Yes.
Perhaps it was that it was not that I was not eager to learn, but I think it took me quite a while to shake off my old the earth.
Yes.
There was so much mind, there were so many thoughts, so many thousands of people's thoughts centered upon me, that it affected me very much. And I'm not suggesting that I was earthbound, but I was very much affected by this constant flow of thought force through the earth. And possibly, to some extent, being human, I was fathomed. And it had some effect upon me, and did stand, to some extent, in the way of my progress. I would not like to suggest by that that I did not appreciate the kindness and the thought and love that was sent out of me. And that in itself did help me. But also, at the same time, it was a kind, at first, a barrier, because it made me feel the earth world needed me more than perhaps in a sense it really did. You know, it was a strange feeling. When a person passes from your world to this, according to the individual, of course it changes and it's different. But in my case, I was very young. I had just reached the success and was beginning to benefit from success. I'd had my disappointments in my personal life, but I was beginning to sort of really beginning to make, as it were, something of my life. I was trying to mold my life, and I thought that I was beginning to sort myself out. And I think I had been going through a stage of sorting my material affairs out rightly, and I was beginning to sort of, and now I realize this, I didn't realize this so much at the time, but I realized that I had put things in their proper category and given their proper worth. In other words, I was evolving in a material sense. Not in a bad sense, but I was beginning to appreciate the right things, learning what to do and what not to do. And I think that the success I had too, it was all very nice, it was very flattering, and I was in so many different ways beginning to feel more satisfied, if you like, with myself, which I suppose is the way to put it. And I realized now that that was not perhaps the right thing. Although for me at the time it probably was right. You see, hope is that I was just beginning to live, I suppose, looking at it in material sense. But and I also learned something right about communication. I was not an avid reader, but I had read a good deal of the subject. I had become very intrigued by it. I discovered that I had psychic powers myself.
So you did automatic writing?
Yes, but it was not perhaps as good as it could have been. But I didn't have the time, as many people do, to develop these things. But I did discover that I had psychic powers.
Right.
Because I was extremely sensitive.
Yes.
And when you are very sensitive, you get hurt very often. And I was hurt very badly. But as I say, I was beginning to sort myself out, beginning to understand a little more what life was all about, beginning to appreciate many things that before I did not appreciate. I was becoming, shall we say, more of a stable person. And then, of course, I was in and I come here, and I felt a little resentful. But that is all in the past. I'm not concerned so much with the past. I'm concerned with the present and the future. And the future here is of all that I can help, every soul that I can help. And I feel that I've been very blessed and I've been so grateful for all the love that has been showered upon me. And I feel I must do everything in freedom. I feel I want to do everything I can to help in any way I can.
Yes, I'm sure.
I am very amused with you.
Why?
Well, I think you are one of the few women that I've ever met who is not interested in me. It's so funny because I like it. Because most of these other people who bless them, they are very sweet and they are very kind and I love them very much in different ways. But you could not how you use it, you say in your modern term, I hear the medium say, you could not gather less. I think that is so funny. And for a long time I said to myself, I would so much like to come and speak to this lady, this person, you know, Rosa, that I think, oh, well, she's not interested in me, and she has her own friends.
Oh, yes.
And your friend, Frederick, he said to me one day, you must go speak to Rosa, because she is very sweet and very kind, which of course I knew already, but he said, she will understand you better than all those other city women. I said, well, you should not say that about these other city women, because after all, they are very kind, and they are very, very good, you know.
Yes,
you know, he's a very funny man. And he says, well, Rosa, she will not be like these other people. Then I say to him, well, after all, isn't your daughter a very silly woman too, you know? She's crazy about you. People ask her what you're going to talk to, she's not crazy about you, so that's all right. Actually, that's really a joke. But after a long time, I think, well, perhaps one day I will just go and say a few words to your
mother. Okay.
And now I feel as if I've almost, well, how do you say, one in the family.
Yes, of course.
But, you know, I have tried very hard to help this infant, and I feel that in many ways he has been very good and very successful. But I feel that the greatest work was, is yet to come. I am confident that the greatest work is yet to be done. I want my book written. I don't want it to be written in the sense about me, but I want the book to be written because this book will convey a great deal to a great many people and do a great deal of good. I'm not concerned if my name is ever mentioned in the book. I don't worry about that any more than Frederick would worry when his name is mentioned, because I can assure you that the more developed we become, the more we are experienced in life, the more we understand, the less important in a sense we ourselves feel. We're not concerned with our personalities as such in regard to what we're trying to do. We're only concerned with the truth that we can convey. And that is all that really matters.
Yes.
But some of these people, of course, they seem to think, well, names are so important.
Yes, I know. Well, right, we're on the earth, you know, I suppose.
You're a very fortunate woman, if I may say so, Rosanne, because you have an extraordinary, wonderful, I don't know how to put this in words, but you may have had, from what I can gather, you may have had many disillusions and disappointments in your life, like so many people do. Perhaps in some ways yours have been harder to bear, but you have had the most wonderful union, is the only word I can think, of spiritual love, which has gone not just in one short life, but through many lives. You may not yet have been told much about them, but I'm sure Frederick or others will. But the point is that there is this tremendous, wonderful union which has blessed you and which has given you, I'm sure, great inner consciousness of happiness. That the world, you know, people can live on the earth and they can be blessed in so many ways. They can have everything in a way a world can offer. And that they can be absolutely bereft of a real spiritual love that outlasts time and body. And this is something that you have. It is a beautiful thing which nothing can destroy. In this you are most blessed. I feel that you have got something that is beyond all price. It is indeed the true thing that makes life so wonderful. You may not seem at this moment materially as you are to understand it fully, how can you? But when you come here, I can assure you that your joy and your happiness will be such that all the pain, all the suffering, all the unhappiness of life will disappear as if never existed for you. It will be forgotten in the moment of the true realization of this perfect love, which is beyond all time. And, you know, it is something that few people have. When I say few people have, I think it is true to say that it is, of course, fundamentally true to say that this is something that can only come when it has been earned.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people cannot understand that and will not understand it. And the more material they are in the outlook, the more difficult it will be for them to know of it. But everyone who finds true love, a lasting love, and a peace which is beyond all special words, only comes when one has made it possible through time itself, and often through bitterness and tears, that this perfect love, this union which in itself completes the happiness of the human soul, comes through great travail and suffering, often through eons of time, but you have achieved this. I'm sure Frederick himself will tell you this. Perhaps he does not want to tell you.
No, he
doesn't. I don't know. All I can tell you is that I know, I recognize it, and I have not got it myself. But perhaps for me that one day will come.
Well, I hope it will, okay.
have seen many people, and I've been so delivered with them, because there are all manner of forms of happiness. A man may be happy in so many different ways, but there is one true happiness which never changes, and that is the perfect love which nothing can destroy. One may have love for all manner of things and people, but it can often change, as it does, according to the conditions and the variations of life. But this is the thing that nothing can take from you. It is yours, and you have had to make it so. You may not even know of this. You may not really be conscious of this. Sometimes he and others may tease you, but sometimes you may feel even cross within yourself, with yourself and with people and within, perhaps, who knows. But this I do know, that there is a perfection which in itself is a tremendous achievement. Don't worry and don't be too concerned if sometimes you feel the rest of many things. And one thing you can be assured that you have found perfect enough love that nothing can ever take away from you unless you have earned it. Naturally impossible. It is a great thing in your world. I have experienced myself many things. And it is not given to many to find that perfect union, that perfect oneness. It is a blending of souls which in itself makes a completeness. Everyone is searching, and so many people are searching for what they perhaps do not realize is good for them. Yes. Having the search and the struggle to find, but you find that you have gone through many incarnations that you have no doubt been through, and it has been a labor of love and sacrifice, but the ultimate joy compensates for everything. This one day you will know, this one day you will understand, and one day you will have, I'm sure, look back for a short time until many fades and these things of earth. You will look back one time and be grateful for all its manifold blessings, and all its manifold complexities, and all its disillusions and disappointments. You will be grateful for the tears that have been shed, because by these things you have found and you have achieved. I suppose in some measure we all do that, but there are very few who will be able to do it with a full realization that they have made it possible to leave forever all these things which seem to stress and mar the soul, and you will have found the perfect peace, the only love, true love and understanding can bring. You are, I'm sure, going to find a blessing that few will find. You must have to long enough in the path of the earth, and in those few years that may be left to you, from what I can gather, you will have opportunities. I know that you will not fail yourself or fail those that you love, but this I do know, that what you are doing and what you have done will merit that reward, though you have not sought reward, will merit that reward which is your just due, the perfect oneness and harmony and love with him who has been so long linked with you in so many ways, that when you are entwined in that perfect whole, then you will know that you have reached the goal that was set a long, long time ago, when memory first stirred within you, and you first began to be a human being. You will know, you will understand, gradually these things go upon each one, that you have reached that peak. And from that peak you ascend eventually in the spheres into greater heights of illumination, and he will be your constant companion. He may tease you for the moment. He may say things to you that sometimes makes you a little cross, but a lot of it is done deliberately, and he has his reasons. But I'm telling you this because I recognize this perfect love, and that, in my way of thinking, is the greatest form of development in the human soul. We seek many things in many lives, but the one thing that remains forever and makes animal, which makes life itself a reality, is perfect love. And this perfect love, sure, is like in Penambrasa, is your great perfect. And you yourself, and no one else, has made it possible. Now let's go.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful
because I want you to be happy.
Thank you.
But at the same time, if I may come right down, bang, to the earth, I want you to be sensible.
Why?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
There are some people who cannot see not an inch before their nose, no matter how long it is. These people, they are in their own way good souls.
Yes.
But do not weep for them if they do not understand. In God's good time, they will begin to think and to seek and eventually find. If it is not to be today, it may be tomorrow. And if it is not tomorrow, it may yet come, perhaps many years hence. But for every man, there is a time and there is a place. Be content in that. One can only serve as one is enough to serve. One can only do as much as one is about to do. You can do what you do, but do not create within yourself unhappiness if your efforts sometimes seem wasted. Be patient with others as you are with yourself. Perhaps you are more patient with others than you are with yourself. I think you are. But this I am sure. You can only do what you can do. Don't weep too deeply for the sorrows and the unhappiness of the world. I would not suggest that you should not feel for the world. One must. But do not weep too deeply. For while they are weeping, while they are suffering, we are learning. And indeed, we all have had to learn through suffering, through sorrow, through unhappiness. You understand and to awareness. If you can help, yes. But sometimes remember that it is our way. Everyone must carry for the time a cross. You have carried a cross, as I know, for a long time. As soon as loss will be taken from you, then that love that you have borne for so long will give to you its reward. Don't worry, be patient with yourself and with others. It is happy for me to come and speak to you because love so comes to understand, and you have such realization of this. And I don't want always to make a nuisance of myself. I mean, I don't want you to. I do not often come.
Oh, please do, really, I do.
Care to you, but I like to occasionally.
Yes.
Because you understand.
Yes.
And if you don't like my pictures, I don't mind. I must go now. Please.
Well,
goodbye, and God bless you, Rosa.
Thank you, Rudy. God bless you, too. Carry on with your late work.
I must go. Not from everyone here.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, darling. Rumble. What?
Mickey Simple Rumble.
Bye. He's so funny.
Well, he was a nice woman. I never thought would have come tonight.
He
did. You never heard him.
Very.
Oh, beautiful. Best I've ever heard him speak.
The HPB referred to by Rudolf Valentino is Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who co-founded the Theosophical Society when she was on Earth.